Some pitfalls to avoid when applying for federal student aid, coming up.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. It's called FAFSA, or Free Application for Federal Student Aid. FAFSA is the standardized online form that students must fill out to apply for federal student aid for college. There are pitfalls to avoid when filling out this form, such as assets that could be counted against the aid that your son or daughter is eligible for. Hannah Schoenberger is a New York-based writer who reports for the Wall Street Journal on topics such as saving for college. Hannah, another school year is on the horizon. College, as we all know, is frightfully expensive. What are some of the things parents should be aware of when filling out FAFSA?
Well, one of the common misconceptions is that there's no reason to save for college because you won't be able to afford it, so your student will automatically get aid and or have to fill out, you know, file for student loans. That's not true. You should be saving for college, and one of the most popular ways to do this is through a 529 account, which you can do that through direct payroll deductions.
Starting out here, you say that retirement funds are generally not included as part of the FAFSA filing. And in your article, one parent asks if a daughter's chances for aid would be hurt if the parents shared an inheritance to help her start an IRA.
That's right. So retirement assets are generally not included as part of the FAFSA. And the FAFSA is the form that everyone has to fill out to get federal student aid. What happens is that when you take money out of a 529, which is a specialized type of college savings account that people should use for saving for college, although not as many people use it as they should, when you take money out or any sort of money that's given to the student, that's counted as part of the student income. So while those retirement assets do not go into the calculation, any money that's taken out of other accounts to pay for the student to go to school can be counted as student income. And then it will reduce their aid the following year.
A common question seems to be what to do with leftover 529 money when filling out the FAFSA form.
So this is a good problem to have. Most people have only a few thousand dollars in 529 accounts. If, in fact, you've been saving in a smart manner and you do have too much money at the end, what you ought to do is you should title it to another person in the family. So the way those accounts are set up, 529s, is you can always change the beneficiary to a direct relative of the original beneficiary. So if you had it for your daughter, she finishes college, she gets a fellowship to graduate school, you can retitle that account for your son, for your nephew, for yourself if you decide you want to go back and get a PhD. All these things are completely allowed, and then the money saved is still tax advantaged. What you can't do is take it out and switch it to a non-529 account. If you do, you're going to owe penalties on any gains in that account, plus an additional 10% penalty if it's not for educational purposes.
One question, Hannah, is from a parent who has a 24-year-old child and thinking of returning to school. The person wants to know what to do with a little leftover 529 money. Would that be counted against her?
So if you take the experts that I spoke to for the article said that if you take money out of your 529 for the qualified educational expenses, you are allowed to do that. But that's considered part of her income for FAFSA purposes. So the following year, she'll have to report that on her FAFSA as income. And so her student aid will go down in the next year. The college won't give her as much money. They'll think she's earning more.
Right. And another question here. If you don't use a 529 for education and the owner closes the account, how is it taxed?
So the experts I spoke to said that if you take out withdrawals for a non-qualified use, so you're not sending it directly to the college for tuition or qualified expenses, then the earnings are going to incur taxes, both federal and state, and there'll also be a 10% penalty.
A 529 plan is generally defined as a taxed advantage education savings plan. It's operated by a state or educational institution, which is aimed at helping families set aside funds for college. Why don't you talk about the importance of this plan?
So these plans are very important. A recent study showed that something like 3 out of 4 Americans don't know about these plans. And really, everyone who has children and they think their children might be going to college really ought to have one of these plans. Each state taxes it a little bit differently. So, for instance, in New York, we have this plan that allows you to front load your contributions. And that means you can put in 5 years of contributions up front for gift tax purposes. And that's really great if you have the cash available now, because the power of compounding says that the longer the money stays in the account, it's likely to grow. And as it grows, those gains are tax-free if you're using them for educational purposes. So the great thing about 529s is that once you start one in your family, you can, as we said, you can retitle it for any direct relative of the original beneficiary. So you can switch it from relative to relative. And this means that you can start this account, and it can pay for your own kids. It can also pay for other relatives of yours to get an education. And that's a really tax-efficient way to do it. So if you have the means and you have a child, and your child may someday get any sort of higher education, you should definitely have one of these accounts. And if your child does get a scholarship or does something like attend a military academy where they won't have to pay for school, then you are allowed to take the money to offset that scholarship back out of the 529 penalty free.
Sounds like great advice. Freelance writer Hannah Schoenberger, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.